following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
There is no place like Nebraska. Do you hold Nebraska, you?
Can you feel it? This is a dream come true for me. Yeah, I grew up. All I ever wanted to do was be a Husker.
It's going to be tipped and caught! It's caught! It's caught in the touchdown, Western Tech!
Back to throw is Tater, looking, holding, sets, throws deep downfield, looking toward the end zone. The pass is caught! Touchdown! Kenny Bell pulls it in!
Ball is given to Fryer on an inside handoff. He floats! The 20, the 10, touchdown, Nebraska!
Huntley gets the snap. Husker send a blitz. Huntley steps up, gets hit, goes down. Big sack by the Cornhuskers. Andrew Green on a corner blitz brings him down.
Second down and six. Martinez running. First down. Taylor Martinez. Oh, here he goes. Martinez. Can he outrun him? Martinez at the 10. Touchdown, Nebraska. 92 yards.
That'll be back to throw, looking, throwing down toward the end zone as a man out there overshoots it, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Stanley Jean Baptiste in the end zone. The third pick of the night for the Husker defense.
Steve Taylor looks to the five-man Cowboy front, takes the snap, hands it off to Clark, cuts back left side, 30, 32, 33, 35, broke it, out across the 40, 45, he may go, 50, 45, 40, first place in scrimmage, 25, 20, 15, 10, touchdown! Touchdown! The first play from scrimmage.
Martinez gets the shotgun snap. Back to throw. Tater sets, throws over the middle pass. Caught! Ben Cotton! Touchdown! And Nebraska has taken the lead!
Nobody's been more dominant than Nebraska. Nothing can compare to it.
Frazier adding more numbers, more yards to those. Oh, they don't have them yet! Look at Tommy Frazier! How many tackles can one man break? Touchdown!
Martinez in trouble. Reverses. Trying to break contain. Martinez up the sideline. Still running. Look at him. Taylor Martinez. What a run. He's got a lane. Martinez. Wow. Taylor Martinez. Touchdown. Huskers. What an athlete. 76 yards.
Snap back to McGloin. Throws it out to flat to Lehman, the tight end. He makes a catch. Leach bubbles the ball in the end zone. Huskers recover. Huskers recover in the end zone. It's a touchback.
Nebraska's thin up front. George is going a little tempo on him. He's trying to set a screen. He's picked off. Picked up by Will Compton. He'll take it to the house. Touchdown, Nebraska.
High formation for the Huskers. Zimmer is the fullback. Burkhead the deep back. Play action fake. Tater back looking deep downfield. Has a man out there. The pass is caught. Touchdown. Quincy Inunua. His first 6 points of the year.
Laycock's getting close to see if Taylor's going to be able to get it off. He does. Martinez. Jones was after it. Fired to the end zone. Touchdown, Nebraska. It's Jamal Turner.
Second and goal. Corner of the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Nebraska. Jamal Turner made the catch.
Cross to the middle. Juggle. Diving touchdown, Nebraska. Davidson on the deflection.
Trips to the near side. Kellogg gets a shotgun snap. Final play of the game. Ron waiting for the wideouts to get downfield. Launches the throw down toward the goal line. Going up. Ball tipped in the air. Ball caught. Touchdown. Jordan Westerkamp. Nebraska wins the game on the final play of the contest.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What a scene in Lincoln, baby. Woo!
I like that stance.
So he'll get the handoff. It is Hoffman. Hoffman to midfield.
He's got another gear.
They are not going to catch him. Jack Hoffman to the end zone. Husker touchdown.
This is super duper awesome. Thanks for the trophy. I'm glad that you are all now on Team Jack. And I know with you we can't lose. Thanks.
Oh, there truly is no place like Nebraska.
It's Football Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday. In just a second, Mark Snyder from the Detroit Free Press is going to give us the Michigan perspective. We're going to talk with Brian Munson of Big Red Report, see how things are going, kind of quiet on the recruiting side of things, but we'll see how Nebraska's win. The one play may have turned some things around with the atmosphere for the kids that were and the recruits that were on hand last week. We've got Pigskin Pick'em, Jimmy's picks, your emails, and a whole lot more. So let's get after it and get ready for Nebraska-Michigan. Kickoff tomorrow, 2:35 on ABC. And Mark Snyder, who has been on our Doug and Daddy show a few times and is making the Nebraska routine. He's made the tour. And from the Detroit Free Press, Mark joins us this morning. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing fine. Great to have you back on the Doug and Daddy show. And let's just jump right into it here, Mark. This was always going to be a big game, but is the luster off of it? Does Michigan have as much to play for as Nebraska?
No. I think last week meant everything to Michigan, and this week doesn't mean quite as much. I think that obviously there's the idea that they're still in the Big Ten race, and mathematically maybe it's possible, and inside Schembechler Hall, that's what they're being told, you know, Brady Hoke and the coaches, but realistically, that's gone. I mean, that ship has sailed. So, you know, you have to find the motivation, and you have to find it somewhere, and if the mathematical chance is something that can drive them, then that's worth it. But I think that Nebraska has a real chance, because Michigan State could lose one game, and they still get their crack at Michigan State. So, that's the opportunity that Nebraska has. Michigan doesn't have that chance anymore.
Outside of last week, Michigan has played pretty well. I mean, four overtimes, Penn State, say what you will about that. What happened last week?
Wait, you're not a Michigan fan, clearly.
No. Hey.
Everything I've heard this week is that the sky is falling and that the season's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, holy cow, Michigan hasn't been playing horrible football, except Michigan State stepped up and slapped them last week. What happened?
Well, Michigan State's a great team. I think that's what happened. Michigan State's a great defense. I will clarify there, but they are one of the best defenses in the country. And it's just a terrible matchup for Michigan. You know, when your whole game, you have no running game like Michigan does not have this season, and you rely totally on pass. Well, and then you're facing a defense that can bring it hard like that. Well, they're going to come after you. And if you got a young offensive line, you know, that just plays into the mess, and that's what happened. I mean, Michigan State started coming, they started coming hard, and Michigan's young offensive line is in the middle. You know, they have two senior tackles, but in the middle it's really weak and young. They just got busted through, and that Demi Gardner had no time, and that's simply what that game was all about.
Yeah, this is Jim Lang, and I kind of agree with you on the fact that I thought Michigan, and maybe like Nebraska, they're both a little overrated. You know, Michigan had trouble with, I believe it was Akron or somebody like that at home. They had trouble UConn. I mean, that game was 0-0 real late in the game, and UConn is having a lot of trouble this year. Other than the Notre Dame game, the only game that doesn't make any sense, there's always a couple out there this year that don't make, you know, Michigan State loses to Notre Dame, Michigan beats Notre Dame. You know, other than that game, I'm like you. I think that Michigan might be a little ripe for the picking right now, and this might be Nebraska, even though Nebraska's not great. That game they played and the way they won at their practice level this week had to be in a pretty good mood. They could be, Michigan could be ripe for the picking.
I don't know. I would see it kind of the other way, that Michigan is going to be, they may not have the same incentive, but I think they're going to be fired up, because I think last week, you know, Michigan has lost a number of games under Brady Hoke, and, you know, they've, aside from the Alabama game last year, they've been competitive in almost all of them. Last week they were not competitive. And I think they were embarrassed last week by what happened. I think that, you know, they were not in that game in any facet of the game. And I think that really shames them. I think that's something they're going to be determined to show that that's not who they are. I still don't think that they're going to blow Nebraska out or anything, but I think that Michigan is going to come out pretty motivated this week.
We're chatting with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We'll make our predictions at the end of the show, but obviously, Mark, I think you're right on here. Brady Hoke doesn't lose at home, and he is great in bounce-back games. Is there a particular reason why that is?
I really tried to get at it this week, and I couldn't too much. you know, just asked a bunch of people, and basically the consensus, especially from Al Borges, who's maybe been with him longer than any of these people, because he's been there five years, three here and a couple at San Diego State, offensive coordinator. He said that it's just consistency, and that this is, Hoke made a determination at some point, you know, when he became a head coach, that he was going to be consistent. He wasn't going to get too high, he wasn't going to get too low, and that that would pay off. And he didn't really know when it would pay off, but I think that this is the area where it does, that when they lose a game, then they're able to come back because they see the same guy. They don't see him panicking. They don't see him flipping out. They don't see him crazy on the sidelines. I don't think you guys know anything about coaches like that. But, you know, that's just what Brady's about. And I think that the players say it, and they said they appreciate it. In terms of Hoke and where that came from, you know, he doesn't really give us too much on that. I really tried to press him on it. But he said, basically, a lot of these kids come from places where they don't have consistency in their life. And he wanted to provide that. And whether that was regarding football games, winning football games or not, that was not necessarily the reason he did it. But it's a nice byproduct, I think.
Talk with Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press. They have not been able to run the ball like we thought they would. Is that a Fitz Toussaint thing? Is that an offensive line thing? I mean, at least at Nebraska, we knew the defense was going to be troubling. I didn't know that this was going to be troubling for the Wolverines.
Well, I don't know. I think anyone who put their faith in Fitz Toussaint as a back was kind of deluded. I think that 2 years ago, you know, he played very well for like a 4 or 5 game stretch, but that was because he had Denard Robinson next to him, who was a better running back than he was. So I think that that was part of it. And then last year, you know, Toussaint really struggled through the year, broke his leg, came back this year, and really hasn't done much. I mean, obviously the offensive line is the best, especially in the middle. You know, they rotated guys through, they moved guys around, and, you know, when you're 8 games in and you're still doing that stuff, you got problems. You definitely do. But great backs, as you guys have seen with your back there, can do stuff even when they're in a unique and a problematic situation. You know, they can bounce one to the outside and break one off and stuff. Obviously, it's not going to get you a 150-yard game if you don't have an offensive line. But you got to be able to do more than Toussaint does. I mean, Michigan last week set a program record, 134 years, by having a negative minus 48 yards rushing. Well, obviously, sack yardage is in that when they took 7 sacks and it was a bad snap. But Toussaint had 20 yards on 8 carries. I mean, why are they going to feed him the ball if he's not going to be able to do anything with it?
Yeah, Jim Langen here again. Hey, I'm a co-host here. I'm only on, like, not very often, but last week I loved Northwestern. I was going to bet Northwestern plus the 7.5. We get a guy from Chicago and he tells me how bad they are and how they're quitting and everything else. So why pass on the game? You know, I pass on it. And I mean, Northwestern was a lock of the year. Now I'm talking to you and I'm thinking about betting the Huskers and you're telling me how good Michigan is. I don't know what to do now. I mean, you guys
I'm
get a little more consistent.
I
hope you're right.
That's great. Well, listen, let's put it this way. I don't say Michigan's that great, but I think Michigan has a lot of motivation, and as you know, that goes a long way, especially with college football. You know, in pro football, maybe it's not the same thing, but motivation is worth something, and I think they're motivated by their pride. And if they're not, well, then this season's about to go in the tank, and it's going to be bad. But Michigan can still salvage a respectable season. They're not going to go to the Big Ten title or any of that kind of stuff, but you know, they win these next 3 games, Nebraska, at Northwestern, at Iowa. Not going to be easy, but it's possible. And then if they get whipped by Ohio State, you know, it's still 9-3, and that right here would be pretty good from where this season looks like right now.
Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press. Mark, we'll let you out of here with this. What is the thing you look for in the first quarter tomorrow that might tell you how this game is going to go?
If they can run the ball. I mean, I think that's the key, that Michigan needs to balance that. They need to have a balanced offense. They can put up a ton of points. We saw that against Indiana, who's admittedly terrible defense, but Michigan put up 63 points. No one else has done that. You know, as much as people have gone at Indiana, they haven't put up 63 points on them. So this offense can get rolling, and through the passing game is going to happen. It's going to work. I don't have any doubt about that. But if they can balance it with the run a little bit, then, you know, you have an advantage. Because Abdullah's going to get his yards, he's going to be effective. But, you know, but Nebraska, from everything I've seen, is a pretty one-dimensional offense. You know, and he's the key to them moving it. And if Michigan, whoever can have the balance, is probably going to win the game.
Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press. I know you've got things to move on to, Mark, so we'll let you get going. We do appreciate you giving us a few minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy the game.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I love talking to you guys.
You bet.
Mark,
take care.
Mark, get the Detroit Lions a win. Let the Huskers win this one, would you?
Okay. I wish I had that power. You know, you grant me one wish. I don't know if I'm going to use it on the Lions, but maybe on something.
Well, we usually do talk to Lions. Mark, real quick, are they a playoff team?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, they're helped by the whole fiasco in this division, you know, that now, you know, there's Aaron Rodgers is going to be out 3 weeks, and then you've got Jay Cutler, who's hurt, now back, and we'll see how long that lasts. You know, he's injury-prone. So I think if they can stay healthy, their offense is explosive enough, now that they have Reggie Bush, that they're in a different dimension than they have been in the past.
Is Jason Whitlock coming to the game this weekend?
If he is, I don't know. I think there's going to be a mixed reaction. I don't think he's going to be staying at Brady's house, though.
Okay. All right, Mike, or Marco, we'll let you get going. Thanks for the time, Mark Snyder.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Check it out on the Detroit Free Press. Mark's got an article out there. Weird. Now, Jason Whitlock, always people, if you don't know who Jason Whitlock is, then this whole point is moot. But you've seen him on ESPN. He's been working at Kansas City. He's done some national things. He filled in for Jim Rome quite often. And he's very opinionated. Very opinionated, and sometimes to the point of where you kind of think he's intentionally taking the other side. He and Brady Hoke are like really great friends, and he wrote a column here this week criticizing Michigan football. Huh? I mean, that's not his beat. And so Brady Hoke responded to it yesterday on his radio show, and you can read the article. Mark has more on it on the Detroit Free Press website, so check that out. Doug and Daddy's show. Jimmy, I'm with you here. When this spread is 7, 6.5, I'm wondering. I mean, because you know you're getting about that much to play at the big house. People say it's a 3-point home field advantage. Well, it's more than that in some fields, and Michigan is some field. You know, at the end of the show, all year I said this is one of the games Nebraska will lose. Vegas hardly ever misses, man. Our predictions are coming up at the end of the show, but I think I know which way I'm leaning, but I have no idea what exactly is going to happen tomorrow.
Well, I do know this. I do know when in Vegas, when Nebraska played Minnesota, 93% of the people bet on Nebraska. Only 7% bet on Minnesota, and that was getting the 10.5 points. Anybody that watched that game knows that Minnesota outplayed Nebraska. The Northwestern game was about 75-25 Nebraska. Now it's reversed. 74% of the people are betting on Michigan at minus the 7. So, you know, if Vegas is wrong, if Vegas wants to be on the correct side of it. So they're wanting Nebraska. They want Nebraska to cover. So, I mean, I think Nebraska, that one game, that one play, whether we want to talk about it or not, it's a college football game. Just look at the way the fans felt about it. If Nebraska would have never completed that pass, do you think we'd be happy with Pelini this week?
This would have been a brutal week.
It would have been horrible. Now the pass is completed. You know, your body language in practice, the way you feel. I mean, it's not going to take much. Nebraska compete just for a quarter. They're going to probably stay in the game.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report, is going to join us here. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question for the weekend. Yesterday, we asked you, how do you think Nebraska will do getting the 6.5 points? And lose and no cover, 69%. Yikes.
Same as the United States.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. 19% says Nebraska will win. 13% fall right in there, say they'll lose but cover. The Nebraska men's basketball team. Here we go. The season starts today. Let's talk a little hoops. The women tip off at noon. You can hear it on 1230 KHAS. What is the outlook for this year's Nebraska men's basketball season? Bottom of the conference, NIT or other postseason tournament, or the NCAA tournament. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. You can vote on the Midtown Mart Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. What's your outlook for the Nebraska men's basketball season? Vote now. It'll be up all weekend at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, when we come back.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Hi, it's the Herd. You always hear that phrase, use your time wisely. Easier said than done. We're all busy. But I know a simple way to start using your time more effectively. Stamps.com. so easy and so convenient. You buy and you print official U.S. postage, the real thing, and you use your own computer and printer. That means you don't have to drop by the post office. Print postage for any letter, any package, within seconds. And here's the cool thing. Right from your desk, 24/7. The post office could be closed. Stamps.com is always open. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer for my listeners. Use my name, Colin, for a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and $55 of free postage. Listen, you got to use your time wisely. Stamps.com. Don't wait. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic top of the page. Type in Colin.
Jerseys has all the games you want to see for the season. Get to Jerseys on Husker game days. Free Jello shots for everyone when the Huskers score a touchdown. Beer and lots of food specials. Jerseys has the full NFL package and offers $3 Bloody Marys all day long. And the best bucket prices in town. Remember, there are specials every night at Jerseys. Happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Jerseys Sports Bar and Grill located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, North Kearney, where the game and the grill are always on.
Ooh, they hit Wiseman hard, but he handed it off to his fullback, Johnson, who's into the secondary.
State high school football coverage on the stations of Platte River Radio is brought to you by Tom Dinsdale Automotive. That's Dolly Park Road and Webb Road, and online at DinsdaleAuto.com.
Bill takes a snap, a little bit of pressure coming, throws it, delivered, caught!
Channel Seed and Hildreth. Go see Zeke and Bear today and see how they can help you grow.
Across the 10 to the 5, and he's...
T&L Irrigation, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. Keep it right here or log on to PlatteRiverPreps.com for stations and time.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops during the day today as we'll head up to 64 for a high. Winds out of the south-southwest develop about 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to 34 with partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Frambley. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we get ready for a home Hastings College and home UNK football game this weekend. Looks like it's going to be a pretty decent Saturday, and that means another chance to tailgate and another chance to enjoy some great food from Troutman's Quality Meats, a grill's best friend, East Highway 30 here in Kearney, where you can stop in, get fresh sausage out of the smokehouse. Carrie's always doing something a little bit different. Always your favorites, but then, you know, likes to experiment. Here's the chili cheese brat. Maybe here's a pineapple brat. He's put together some really cool things, and check that out as well. Plus, all beef at Troutman's is USDA Choice Certified Angus beef, and their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. You can't go wrong whether you're just looking for dogs or snacks or a big old steak, and of course, it's never too early or as we're getting here, Thanksgiving, just a couple of weeks away, to pre-order your smoked turkeys and hams from Troutman's Quality Meats, the grill's best friend, East Highway 30 in Kearney. Time for a little more Husker football talk, but I do want to get to John's email here. Really funny that the Oregon-Stanford game was decided by line play and third down conversions. Can you say duck pate? Nice job, Stanford. Kind of getting Oregon out of the way. But the troubling thing to me about all this is if Stanford stays ahead of Baylor in the BCS. Don't tell me again, I will say it every time. Don't tell me the preseason polls don't mean anything, because they do. Stanford, a one-loss Stanford, should not be ahead of a no-loss Baylor. Should not be ahead of a no-loss. They lost to Utah. Utah's not good. They might be good. They're not great.
Doug, you and I agree on a lot of things. We really do. And this one, you're 100% correct on. And if you can tell when I get my pen going,
yeah,
I bend over,
me.
I'm ready to go. And Baylor, I said when Baylor got ranked behind Miami of Florida, they were ranked 10th. And Miami of Florida was ranked 8th. And that was the joke of the world. And now you look at it. I mean, are these people not intelligent enough to be on a committee or something? I mean, that was so far off. And we talked about it before it happened. And I don't know what you're going to do with Baylor. I have no idea what they're going to do with Baylor. I guess Baylor has to continue to do what they did. Baylor had everything go wrong the first quarter that could possibly go wrong in a football game and still blew them out. I mean, absolutely blew them out. And I don't know what these people are looking at to tell me that Baylor can't be
one of the top four teams in the nation. You know, I mean, let's put them 6-7-8 and put them behind like Miami and a one-loss Stanford. I mean, this is not correct. What we're doing to Baylor is not correct.
And this is one of those things I don't think just works itself out.
No,
because Stanford's still going to be playing some good football teams. So does Baylor. But I'm serious. It's because it's Stanford and it's because it's Baylor. It's nothing more than looking at the name of the school. He was at last night's Baylor-Oklahoma game because that's what he does. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joined us on our Husker Recruiting Update brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, doing good. What do you think? What do you think? Your impression on what we were just talking about. Should Baylor be ahead of Stanford?
Well, I've been saying that Baylor's been a top 10 team since about week three, week four. Briles is really, he's got his system in place, and it is a system, let's be honest. That's a very similar-looking Denver Broncos type of offense with a lot of the rub/picks, you know, in the passing routes, allowing a lot of receivers to get open. But then again, it's built around the quick pass to the long pass. He's got great skill position players. But the part of Baylor that gets overlooked, and I think that we saw it last night a little bit, even though Oklahoma's offense was a little out of sorts, and if Nebraska fans saw a two-quarterback system like Oklahoma tried to run last night, they would be going nuts. I didn't get it, and I think Josh Heupel should be firmly on the hot seat right now in Norman, Oklahoma. I don't understand what that offense is trying to do, but Baylor's defense is underrated. That is an athletic group. They've got some size up front. They're athletic. They run at the second level. They've got great cover corners. They're physical. They're a very undervalued part of that offense. But you know, Petty is a big quarterback that has a tremendous arm. He has great accuracy. He's got great downfield, great downrange field guys. But I really feel like Baylor, if they're left out of the discussion, if when it all ends and you start talking about Alabama, Florida State, Baylor as being those final three unbeaten, and Baylor finishes up with Texas, and they smack them around like what I saw last night, it'll be a tragedy if they're left out.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What did you think last week's win at home does for Nebraska recruiting, for the kids that were there and for the potential for everybody that's seeing that highlight all week long?
You know, it's been interesting. It's been kind of a mixed bag. You know, I talked to some guys from last weekend, and, you know, Devontae Bond was blown away. I talked to a guy like Peyton Newell, who's already been on the commitment list but wasn't on an official visit. He thought that, you know, the ending was great, but talking to Ndamukong Suh was amazing. And then I talked to a guy like Javon Walt from Louisiana, and he said, yeah, the game was good. Something about the defense, I can't put my finger on it. They allow too many points. I mean, it's a great observation. I mean, it's a guy that's just sitting back saying, you know, this is a talented team, but I really feel like, in terms of what's going on there with the team in Lincoln, that it's going to be very interesting to see what the value is and what the reward is of how they played that last defensive drive and that last offensive series going forward. I really felt like the Nebraska defense kind of turned a corner there, where they got their backs against the wall with that late interception by Tommy Armstrong. Back him down, get him inside the five. They make a tremendous stand, hold Northwestern to a field goal. It sets up Nebraska with the opportunity to win with a touchdown. I really felt like that could be something that's a game changer going forward for those guys. And I also felt like with the offensive series, where you just felt like so many times with the sack and throwing underneath Abdullah, and Abdullah needs 16 yards, you know, to pick up a 4th-and-15 all the way to the Hail Mary. There were so many things that just as it set up, you just felt like, oh, this is over. Oh, this is it, you know. And they just survived it. It's got to be gut-wrenching for Northwestern and how they lost in Nebraska the last 2 years and, of course, on that 5-game skid. But I'd be really interested to see how it pays off for Nebraska going forward, because I think there's a lot of things that they can build on based on how they finished that game last weekend.
You know, I think Jim Langan here, I think one thing about Nebraska right now is, you know, you on the defensive side of the ball is I think they're improving. I think they're getting better. And I think we're starting to get some names out there that, hey, we can count on this guy to make a big play. We can count on this guy to make a big play. We might be able to count on this guy to do something correct. And before, no one was really stepping up. You know, they say, hey, this is a no-name defense. Well, that's great if you're shutting people out. But if you're giving up 40 points, you want somebody to have a name. Talk about that a little bit, about some of the guys that you think are maybe stepping up and maybe going to be maybe like a second-team All-Big Ten player or something like that.
Well, I think that's a great point because if you look back at the game last week, the name that I think a lot of people would yell out is Avery Moss. And I think that there's been a huge value there for him having a guy like Randy Gregory playing opposite him and how it's kind of rubbed off him. Avery Moss had a coming out party last week. He's flashed at parts of the season, but last week I really felt like he played a complete game. And I think that's a great sign. I mean, you start looking at the next 2 years of the guy, like with those guys together, Gregory and Moss, in Lincoln. That's a huge sign. And I also felt like a guy that quietly I thought played very good when he had a lot of time earlier in the season, and a game slips my mind when he got in there. But that he played incredibly well, then all of a sudden kind of go away and then come back again last week was Mike Rose. I think Mike Rose is playing a very physical style of ball at the middle linebacker spot. I think he's a much better athlete than I initially gave him credit for, which brings a smile to my face because he's such a great kid and getting a chance to talk to him as a recruit. But I think that there's a lot to be excited about when you bring a guy like Rose into that Mike spot because he shows tremendous range. He seems to be a little bit more athletic than a Santos is. At least he can work. He works as well inside the box as Santos, but he can also go a little bit more sideline to sideline than Santos appeared to be able to, particularly against Minnesota, where it just seemed like he was chasing too many plays. And I think there's a lot to build on when you get guys like that there. And you understand now why Nebraska is making such a big push now to go ahead and bring in a couple more junior college defensive tackles, especially when you got some guys inside, like a Malik Collins, a Vincent Valentine, an Aaron Curry, Kevin Marie. So you got those four guys, and even looking forward to a guy like Peyton Newell joining the ranks. You've got five guys right there that'll be, sophomore status, and younger. Well, I guess Curry will be a junior. But, I mean, you get those guys right there, and you bring in another couple guys that are junior college that have played at a little bit higher level that can show them the ropes that are Randy Gregory equivalent of playing inside. That defensive line looks vicious, potentially next year.
Talking from Big Red Report with Brian Munson here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. The Big Red Breakfast every Friday morning in Omaha. Barney Cotton was the coach that was on hand today, and he said Mike Mouty will be at left guard. Penzic and Andrew Rodriguez probably going to play at the right guard position. Mark Pelini is your center now, and he said that even Zach Stirrup may get into the football game from Hastings. Just your overall thoughts on what our O-line is going to look like tomorrow.
You gave it away
with the heavy sigh, Brian.
I really feel bad for a guy like Long, particularly you bring in the aspect that he's a self-made man, walk-on All-American. That those stories to me just makes you smile. It should make everybody in Nebraska smile, given the fact that he's an Elkhorn guy and he's doing this kind of thing down there in Lincoln at a premier level. But I think you start bringing up some interesting names, particularly Estero, who I've been very interested in seeing. I think a guy like Givens Price potentially could find his way into a situation where he starts seeing the field a little bit more, and he's a longer athletic guy like what Estero is. Mouty at times has struggled, but I think he's shown some promise there. But I think the injuries are taking a toll on this team. And we all knew coming down the stretch that there was going to be a period in time that Nebraska needed to try and stay healthy, and here we are. And it's one of those things now where, you aren't really – you have to go out there and you've got injuries on the edge, or with your skill position players. You're trying to keep a guy like Amir Abdullah healthy, but he's obviously been a little banged up as well. This is going to be a very interesting stretch for Nebraska with Michigan State, particularly back to back. I think they're two very physical teams there in the Big Ten. I think the offensive line one of the things I think offensive line and linemen in general, when they see situations like this, they can feel that challenge and they can really rise up to that challenge. You could see a stellar performance out of these guys. I just think that where you lose it a little bit is just this disjointedness of not having a real continuity between the guys that have played. There's a gel that's not going to be there. It's always better when you get guys that have played together longer and feel a chemistry with one another. So I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. One of the parts where I watched Oklahoma last night, and Oklahoma's offensive line really seems to miss, you know, that gel, that thing, even though they have some talent. And I think that could be one of the things, you know, that hopefully you hope you don't see from Nebraska, and that they're kind of, they can fight through it and rise to the challenge.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report. Check him out online, NebraskaScout.com. We'll let you out of here with where we're at with recruits. It's been a while since we've really heard anything. Where are we at?
So, some big news, obviously. Some junior college news, which I mentioned earlier. Junior college defensive tackles are going to be the things that I said before that people need to start paying attention to. Joe Keels is a guy that Nebraska offered coming off of one of their bye weeks. He's a defensive tackle from Highland Junior College in Kansas. And Nebraska had offered him, and then shortly after that, he commits to Wisconsin. Now, this is a guy that has very strong ties back to Wisconsin. He's from the state of Wisconsin. So it made a lot of sense. But Nebraska has not stopped recruiting this guy. Plus, Randy Gregory is a player right now that's being mentioned by a lot of recruits, particularly those junior college guys. I don't know if it's really an approach that Nebraska's taking to bring them in and say, hey, look, watch this guy, and we think you can compliment him here inside or opposite side or whatever. But it's starting to take. A guy like Devontae Bond last week, who was an official visitor, brought up Randy Gregory by name with me a week ago, and then Joe Keels brought up Randy Gregory's name with me two nights ago. So I think it's a great sign that those players see the opportunity and they see these junior college guys going to Nebraska and they're having immediate impacts. These guys are all on very limited clocks. They've got to get in there. They've got to find a situation that's conducive to them seeing the field and getting on the field and being productive. So I think a guy like that, situation like that's huge. Also, Nebraska yesterday offered up what might be the number one junior college defensive tackle in the nation, and Terrell Klinkscales from Dodge City. He's got a couple official visits set, Kansas State, Iowa State. I think Nebraska can really get worked into that mix very quickly. Sounds like he's very interested in the offer. I think Nebraska can definitely secure a visit. Doesn't sound like he's a guy that's going to be available till May, and I know that there was a definite need to try to get a guy in there for spring semester. Maybe it doesn't happen with a guy like Terrell Klinkscales, but you don't turn a guy like that away. And then there's some other guys like a Calvin Hertelu, who we may see pop back up again, but he went from a guy that was supposed to be available in December that probably isn't available till May. Maybe Nebraska comes back and checks him out and sees where he is at academically in January. But keep an eye on those junior college defensive tackles. I think that's going to be a recurring theme all the way up to signing day.
Prediction for tomorrow?
You know what? I'm taking Nebraska. I feel pretty good about where they're at. I think the defense is going to take a step forward. I think that they may have turned a corner, like I said last week against Northwestern. I'm taking Nebraska in a close one, though. I'm going to say 31-21.
All right, Brian, we always enjoy chatting with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great weekend.
You guys do the same. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.
Brian Munson, Big Red Report here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our predictions are coming up. Jim Langan's picks are coming up. Plus, Pigskin Pick'em. We've got $70 in Cunningham's cash out there. I think this is a longer run than we had last year.
About the same, you know. Yeah. About the same. I think for some reason I thought it was 8 weeks.
Was it 8 weeks?
Yeah, I think it was 8 weeks.
8 weeks last week,
yeah.
So we've got a chance to tie a show record.
Yeah, get it.
If we get it done this week.
It'd be nice if we could do it again.
Well, you do it.
Well, you.
Because I think I've won it once during this stretch.
Let's be honest. I think it's zero times this year, but last year.
But last year
you saved us. I mean,
damn.
Last year you saved us. But we'll check it out. I mean, we got to get an official on this. But I'm pretty sure it's zero. No, I'm just kidding you. Doug, I have no idea.
I just got one thing to say. Ravens over the Niners. That's all I got.
And all I'm telling
you. That's all that matters.
All I'm telling you is I honest to God do not know. But I thought it was funny to say.
That's our T&L Husker recruiting update, brought to you by T&L Center, T&L Irrigation Systems. T&L Center Pivots owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every T&L irrigation system. See your T&L irrigation system dealer today. T&L, easier on you for a lifetime. Before we get too deep here, you did send me your selections. We mentioned them last night. 1-1. So the juice is gone, but 1-1, you had both favorites in Baylor and Oregon, and Oregon sure came out running there in the fourth quarter with a couple of breaks. But I want to take you to the NFL game, which probably is going to mean nothing, especially now that Washington lost. Has the game passed the Shanahans by? They come out. I mean, it was almost like Nebraska-UCLA. They come out. They look good. RG3 has three touchdown passes the first half. Then they manage just 3 points against a terrible Minnesota team. And then they get the ball down there first and goal, and the play calling, the selection. And I know it's easy for the fan if it doesn't work, but that damn fade. I mean, not only do you run the fade on fourth down, Jim Langan, you throw it so far that he's out of bounds. He caught it, but he's out of bounds. Horrible. Again, it's the worst play in football. If you got a 6'7 guy like Hartley Dykes going against Grigsby, okay. If you got a sure man-on-man foot advantage, go ahead. I think the problem is, Jimmy, you see it work in high school because you do have physically bigger kids against a team that just doesn't have anybody to put out there. It doesn't work in pro football. And then it does. How amazing is the catch? Calvin Johnson or a Dez Bryant, they're hauling him in with one hand or palming the ball. Quit running the fade. It is a worthless, worthless football play. There you go. I hate it. God, I hate it. Still fired up. I'm going to get a pen and point it at you.
Hey, you know what's up here? Here you go. Here's a pen right there. Hey, I'll tell you what, on fourth down, I do not like that play. Sometimes on first down, I don't mind them looking at it because they might sell out to the run, and then you just get a free touchdown. And you can look at it on first down, and if it's not there, you can throw it out of the back of the end zone, and then you can run your other three plays. So I'm like you. They got to be selling out. You got to see something in film. You know, sometimes I'll tell you a play that works, and you've seen this before. Well, the quarterback that never carries the ball, and that's not this guy,
no.
But a quarterback that never carries the ball on a naked boot. You know, and sometimes you go out there and the guy
Peyton
just walks
Manning.
In. Yeah, he can walk into the end zone. So, you know, there's some time. But again, if it's not there, get rid of it. You know what I mean? So, but some plays on first down you can run. I do not like that play. Definitely, I do not like that play on fourth down.
Well, it's just horrible. It's like the offensive coordinator goes, I don't know what to run. Let's just throw it up, see what happens.
Yeah, you got no other options.
You're getting paid how much money to call that play?
Yeah.
Clown. Andy from Midway is going to join us here in just a minute. We've got a whole lot more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, plus the picks. We've got the state football playoffs that are going on today. Good luck to Grand Island as they travel to Omaha Burke with the non-Metro flag firmly on their side of the field. So good luck to Grand Island tonight. Aurora is at McCook. That should be quite the battle as well. Six-man football, Silver Lake, Cody Kilgore in Bladen this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Out in Harrison, Sioux County playing Hyannis. And the winners come to Kearney for the championship game next week. C&D, as we told you yesterday, will be or have been released. We gave you the times. Those are coming up on Tuesday. And Carl Pelini wants his job back. I didn't do any of that stuff, he said. All the Cheetos and Doritos are gone, and Carl wants his job back. Doug and Daddy Show will be back in a moment, but Andy from Midway are ready to head into the weekend. But weekend is not a time to take off for the folks at the Midway Auto Dealership, and it may be the time when folks off work come in, need a little maintenance, need a little work. Maybe they want to see what's going on the lot. You guys are there for them.
Absolutely. You know, we're kind of getting in. I know you and I, Doug, we were talking about it, you know, last week when we kind of had that weather roll in and, you know, you start to kind of see the idea of snow once again. Yeah. You know, what's funny is the snow and the winter weather, we forget it so quickly. Even though we've gone through it, I know I've lived in Nebraska my whole life. I think you have also. It's like every year it catches a little off guard. We're like, whoa, wait, what is this? You know, I don't know. It's like a Hail Mary pass. Nobody sees it coming. But What's interesting is that's one of the reasons that Midway offers a full-service parts and full-service service department. There's a lot of places you could go ahead and buy vehicles from, and I'll tell you what, a lot of these places are reputable places. They do a good job. We like to think we're a little bit different because we have the ability, if something does happen to that vehicle that you purchased from us, unfortunately, these are human-made pieces of machines. And I'll tell you what, I think we can all agree that, you know, nobody's perfect and things can happen. But that's why we have that full service service department and parts department, so you can bring it in here. And I'll tell you what, you don't even have to buy your vehicle from Midway. We just love it when we can see any customer who's driving anything bring it in. And I'll tell you what, a few folks have kind of been putting some things off over the summer, maybe through this spring, maybe last year when you brought that vehicle in to wherever you usually take it, and they said, hey, you need to think about this before the end of the winter, and you still haven't done it. There's never been a better time. You need to get in there to Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Go talk to one of the great service advisors down there. And then also up the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac location to get in there. I'll tell you what, folks, we're going in the wintertime. Tires, making sure that, you know, the heater's working properly, anything electrical in the vehicle, service engine soon lights, check engine lights on in the vehicle. And here's the big thing, and this is what I always tell everybody. The last thing you want to have happen is you're driving down the road in the middle of a blizzard and it's 22 degrees outside and there's already 7 inches of snow and the car quits working.
Yeah.
That's not good for anybody. I mean, that's real life stuff that happens on a daily basis. And the reason that we have everybody, everything at our fingertips, the reason that we have a service department, a parts department, is because we want to be able to provide that service for somebody. And we want to make sure that they're going to be taken care of, not just today, but also when they're driving down the road in the future. So if you have anything going on right now and you're just a little bit leery, say, gosh darn it, I don't know where I need to go, you know, hey, bring it on down. You know what? Bring it to Midway. We're going to go ahead and get you taken care of. We've got great people there, and this is what they do for a living. So get on down. Come see us at Midway Chevrolet or Midway Chrysler.
They can take care of every make, model, because they are always learning the very latest, whether it's a 1987 or whether it's a 2012. They're going to get you taken care of. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Andy, thanks for the time. Have a great day, buddy.
Hey, you too, man.
We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops during the day today as we'll head up to 64 for a high. Winds out of the south-southwest develop about 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to 34 with partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Frambley. Right now it's 48.
We've been on the run, driving in the sun. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Oh, Jimmy, you went 1-1 yesterday. You missed on Oregon.
Yeah, and I was a very poor selection. I apologize to the people on our show that were listening because I gave them the wrong side on that game. That was definitely an incorrect pick. Sometimes you luck out and you got a 50-50 chance and you shouldn't be betting those games. This had no chance at all from the get-go. What a horrible selection. I really apologize.
Yeah, but you had Baylor.
Yeah, but so what? You know what I mean? That was a great selection. But
you want perfection?
Well, you got to go 2-0 if you're going to be on the show, don't you?
I don't know.
Anybody can go 1-1.
I don't know. Let's release, though, before we get into our pigskin pick'em. So get ready for that again. We'll ask a trivia question. If you are the first correct caller to get the trivia question and you have not went against us so far this year in pigskin pick'em, you'll have a chance. We pick 10 football games and a tiebreaker. If you're the winner, you get the $70 in Cunningham's cash. If you just get on the show today, you'll get the Big Daly's Deli combo meal. You'll be in for the Nebraska-Iowa tickets. So just keep with us as we'll be doing that here in just a little bit. Let's get your picks for the weekend. Okay. 30-8, so now you're 1-1, so you're 31-9 on the year.
Yeah.
What do you got for us this week? Coming off a 4-0 last week, yeah, where we scrubbed the Utah State-Hawaii game.
Right, yeah. And you know, a guy can be careful with Hawaii again this week. They got to travel again. But I'll tell you what, I had about six games that I kind of like, but I got it down to two, Doug. I'm only given two games. They're both underdogs.
Uh-oh.
One of them is UAB. UAB is getting better. They played Middle Tennessee State and got beat by 3 points. Middle Tennessee State played Marshall earlier in the year. Very good game. I think they lucked out and won the game. But UAB's getting 24.5 points. It went up to 25.5, so you get a free point. You know, so right now it's UAB plus 25.5 against Marshall. So you're just going to take the points. UAB's on the road. There's a lot of things wrong with the game, but I like it a little bit. But it's not my best bet. The best bet is a pretty good bet. It's got about a 90% chance of covering.
Uh-oh.
It's a very good selection. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the game before we go on.
What if I put the kibosh on this and wager on it?
You could. You could. this team went to Oklahoma State on the road and got beat 31-27. This team had Iowa State down 41-0 going into the fourth quarter. They're playing a team that got beat by Oklahoma State by 21 or more, and they barely held on and beat Iowa State by 7. It's Kansas State at Texas Tech. Last year, Kansas State won 55-24. Kansas State's got better athletes, and they're heading the right direction. Kansas State is going the right way. Texas Tech is going the wrong way. Plus, they got the wrong team favored. Texas Tech's favored by 3 points. And take the three and take Kansas State.
Kansas State, a little more than usual, the play for Jimmy Langan. Wow. Okay, so Kansas State and UAB, just two selections after having the Thursday night selection. So four overall for the weekend. 1-1 last night, but the two selections for the week, UAB and Kansas State. When we come back, we will do Pigskin Pick'em. We will get your selections. We will also have our Nebraska score prediction for the weekend. But before we finish off with football, do want to remind you that there is not just football to talk about today. There is district volleyball that wraps up this weekend. Class C is tonight. We will be in Kennesaw for the Kearney Catholic St. Paul matchup. I've had numerous people, including yourself, Jimmy, ask me, why Kennesaw? It's the only place they could find. There were some places that didn't want to have it. There were some schools that were already occupied, whether with another district or other events. Hastings College has women's basketball tonight. There were a couple of gyms that the schools did not want to play in, figured it wasn't suited. So they have to agree, and they agreed on Kennesaw.
Kennesaw's got a nice gym.
Nice gym. I don't know why St. Paul would want to travel farther than they needed to, but they are, and so there you go. Neither team's obviously been there, and that's where the match is tonight, and we'll have it at 7 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9. Hastings, St. Cecilia, and Sutton, they're going to play at Hastings High School. Ord and Dundee County Stratton, they're going to play at North Platte. Then tomorrow, the Class B sub-state, Hastings travels to Norris, Holdridge is at Waverly, those are at noon, Garing at Grand Island Northwest at 5, and 6 o'clock, Elkhorn will be at Aurora. Now, yesterday, Axtell, Bertrand, Giltner all qualified for state. Bertrand beat Giltner in the district final. The unofficial pairings have Axtell playing Howells Dodge, Layton playing Giltner, and Bertrand playing Wallace. The official pairings will come out after those Class B sub-state matches are done tomorrow night because they'll put them all out at once. Nebraska volleyball plays tonight at Wisconsin. They'll play at Minnesota coming up on Sunday. The UNK volleyball team is at Northwest Missouri State Saturday. The Hastings volleyball team will host Doan in the quarterfinals of the GPAC tournament at 7:30 on Saturday night. Also, there is soccer to talk about. Hastings College women, a winner 3-1 last night. They'll take on Concordia, who pulled off an upset. So they're getting the 6 seed instead of the 3 seed. That game will be on Tuesday. The Hastings men will take on Northwestern of Iowa tomorrow night in Hastings at 7 o'clock. The Nebraska women play Indiana today, and Tri-City Storm Hockey this evening as they take on Omaha. The Lancers are 10-2-1, and the Storm 4-6-2 face off tonight 7:30 at the Viero Event Center. You can also hear the ball game or the game on the Breeze 94.5 FM. The Nebraska basketball game for the women is going to be on 12:30 KHAS. Here's your trivia question, ladies and gentlemen. Probably pretty easy. I'm going to give you a basketball one. Going to give you a basketball one as Nebraska tips off the season today. Former, and if you know the answer, call 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. The first person to get the correct answer will go up against Jimmy and me in Pigskin Pick'em, brought to you by Big Daly's Deli and our friends at Cunningham's. Former Nebraska women's basketball star Kelsey Griffin will have her jersey retired in January, a National Player of the Year finalist, and Big 12 Player of the Year in 2010. Griffin and Karen Jennings are the only players in program history with 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds. Karen Jennings and Mortice Ivy are the other jerseys retired by Nebraska, so this will only be the third women's basketball jersey ever retired. What was Kelsey Griffin's jersey number? 888-455-ESPN. Kelsey Griffin's jersey number, if you know what you're going up against us in Pigskin Pick'em.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
You're in your car, late for work, but when you turn the key, you find out your battery never bothered to put in its two-week notice. Just up and quit right on the spot. So you make your next job a trip to AutoZone for a reliable new Duralast battery. Well, at least your car got a promotion today.
Come into AutoZone for a new Duralast battery. Rugged, dependable power you can count on. Duralast batteries, sold exclusively at AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Guys, Macy's has those five words you love to hear. Buy one, get one free. Buy one suit from Kenneth Cole, New York, or Tasso Elba, and get one free. Buy one sport coat from Lauren, Calvin Klein, or Tasso Elba, and get one free. Buy one dress shirt or tie from Nautica, Tasso Elba, Perry Ellis, Sean John, Alfani Fitted, Club Room, Jeffrey Bean, and more, and get one free. Right now, in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular prices.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football. It's a battle of two SEC West powers as top-ranked Alabama hosts 10th-ranked LSU. Hi, this is Greg Daniels. Join Dale Hellestray and me for all the action as Nick Saban looks to lead his unbeaten Crimson Tide over Les Miles and the upset-minded Tigers. Bryant-Denny Stadium will be rocking. It's the LSU Tigers and the Alabama Crimson Tide. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
On Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, Saturday night.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops during the day today as we'll head up to 64 for a high. Winds out of the south-southwest develop about 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to 34 with partly cloudy skies. I'm meteorologist Paul Frambley. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy's show ready for Pigskin Pick'em with $70 of Cunningham's cash up for grabs. And Wes from Alma knew that Kelsey Griffin's jersey number was 23, so we're great to go all the way down to Alma. where they've got some good sports teams and trying to get a win here is Wes from Alma. How you doing, Wes? Congratulations on the early win. Let's see if you can knock us off. What do you think?
All right, we'll give it a try.
All right, let's get after it. He's already the winner of the Big Daddy's Deli's large combo meal, and he's in for the Nebraska-Iowa tickets. Here we go. The first game on our sheet is Syracuse at Maryland. Maryland is a slight favorite in this football game of about 5. Who do you got, Wes?
I'm going to go with Maryland.
Jimmy,
Maryland.
And I will take Syracuse. And there's no reason. Again, a team that lost 49-0, I should never, ever pick. Notre Dame at Pittsburgh. Here you go. Pittsburgh, one of those teams that always seems to probably should have beat Notre Dame, but never does. And the spread this week, that's the one that went overtime last year, right? The spread this week is 3 points. Is that what it is? 4.5?
I think it's 4.5.
Notre Dame by 4.5. Who do you got, Jimmy?
I'm going to take Notre Dame here. Last week, they definitely had a 17-point favorite over Navy, and Pittsburgh and Navy are very close. So I think, Navy, I'm going to take Notre Dame and see what they can do.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Again, this is a spread that makes me scratch my head. Probably should take Pittsburgh, but I'm going to take Notre Dame. How about you, Wes?
I have to go with the Irish also.
Virginia Tech at Miami of Florida. Virginia Tech is getting beat up. Miami of Florida just got kind of thumped by Florida State in a big national game. The spread in this game, again, is not all that big. Miami of Florida favored by 6.5 at home. I think Virginia Tech might cover, but I'm going to take Miami of Florida. What do you like, Wes?
I got to go with the Hurricane.
And Jimmy.
I'm also going to go with Miami of Florida.
So all right. We never agree this much. What's going on? Maybe I'm just trying to get some right. Maybe I'm going to quit stinking it up this week. Texas at West Virginia. West Virginia is a tough place to play, although they're making it easier every single week. Texas is favored by a touchdown. Wes, who you got?
I got Mac Brown.
Jimmy, who you got?
You know, I'm going to go with West Virginia, take them on the road here, and I just think it's one of those games. It's a good money line play, and I'm going to take West Virginia.
You know, I agree with you. I'm taking West Virginia. TCU at Iowa State. The spread of this one is TCU by a touchdown?
I think that's right.
No way. Yeah. Come on. How is that possible? It is a touchdown. I'm taking Iowa State. Jimmy, who you like?
I'm going to take TCU, but again, I can understand your thinking.
I was reading some stuff this morning. Didn't have anything to do with the game. I was reading some stuff. Wes, who you like, TCU or Iowa State?
I'm taking Iowa State.
Kansas State at Texas Tech. Jimmy, we already know who you're taking.
Kansas State.
This is at Texas Tech. This was one of your locks. Who do you like, Wes?
I like Texas Tech.
All right. Jimmy's too smart for me. I'm taking Kansas State as well. BYU at Wisconsin. I'm going to take Wisconsin. This is a 7-point ball game. I'm going to take Wisconsin. Jimmy, who you like?
I'm going to take Wisconsin on that. I think maybe BYU can cover those 8 points, but I do like Wisconsin to win the game.
What do you think here, Wes?
Yep, same thing, Wisconsin.
Penn State at Minnesota. Minnesota is the surprise team right now in the Big Ten, even more surprising than I thought they would be. They're a 2-point favorite over Penn State. Who do you like, Wes?
Penn State with Hackenberg.
Jimmy?
I'm going to go with Penn State also. I can see where the public is definitely on Minnesota on this game. This is one of the...
Are they?
Yeah. In Vegas, they're all over Minnesota on this game. But I am taking Penn State.
Why do you tell me these things?
Because I don't know.
Why do you tell me? Because they confuse me.
Well, I knew.
They confuse me.
Yeah, I mean, it's information.
I was all set to take Minnesota, and both you guys took Penn State, and it's like the lock.
87% of the people are betting Minnesota minus the 2.5. Only 13% are on Penn State.
I know Penn State's a better football team.
Then take them.
I know they are. But you guys both took Penn State. The Jimmy Langan rule. I'll take Minnesota. I was going to take them. I'll take them anyway. UCLA at Arizona. This is just a couple of points spread here. Jimmy, who you like?
I really don't know who to take here. I really don't know, but I'm going to take Arizona. They're at home.
I'm taking UCLA because Nebraska played them. What do you think, Wes?
I'm taking UCLA.
And finally, LSU at Alabama. Who you got, Wes?
Gotta go with Bama.
Jimmy?
I'm going to go with Alabama.
I've had this circled a long time. Alabama has to lose sometime. And what just happened last night? Number 2 went down. What happened last year? 2-1 went down the same weekend. the old grass-chewing Les Miles, going to go on the road, and he's going to get one. And it's going to happen tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio. This is a good money line play.
Yes, it is.
I'm taking LSU.
It is a great money line play. It really is.
And just in case, Jimmy, you and Wes happen to tie for the win, let's do the tiebreaker as well, because this is where we – oh, yeah, let's see. You took Alabama, right, Wes?
He hasn't.
Yep.
Did he? Okay, he took Alabama.
Did I ask you?
I don't think we have. We just figured you were going to take Alabama, so we just we wrote it down, Wes. We just said, yeah, sorry about that.
All right, total points on the Nebraska-Michigan game. That is our tiebreaker. And what do you got on this one, Wes?
Husker 31, Michigan 24.
31-24. That is a very American guess. 55 points. Jimmy, what do you got?
53.5.
Who's going to get the half? Jimmy does that just so there's not a tie.
A tie, yeah, 53.5.
What if he says 53 and it's 54? Then we got a tie.
Exactly,
we don't want that.
Yeah. So I went 53.5 on that.
You know what? Most of the year, I've been taking kind of that low ball approach, thinking that there's not going to be as many points. Michigan is averaging 38 points per ball game. That's in all of them. That's including the six last week. Nebraska, can they find a way to score some points? I think they try to slow the football game down as much as they can and pound it. I don't have a good feeling about this. I never did have a good feeling about this game. In a rarity, I'm going to pick Michigan to win this game, and it was 41-17 the last time that they played there. I think Nebraska punches in another one. I think it's a high-scoring game. It's 2:30. This game will not even be close to done by 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And I was going to say that Michigan wins and Nebraska covers because that's what Vegas is telling us right now. I'm going to go against the trend and lose like I always do. Michigan 41 and Nebraska 31. That's 72 total points. Hey, Wes, congratulations on the prizes so far, and $70 up for grabs. Best of luck.
All right, hey, thanks a lot.
You bet, Wes and Alma.
Wes, I think he did a good job at selection. I think you're tough. I think you got a really good chance to win.
This is where he's going to – we're done. You think it's over? You don't feel so good about your picks? Because obviously it's just you versus him. I'm just here for comedy purposes.
It's not that. I'll tell you what, if LSU beats Alabama, you're going to win the contest. And that's not a bad selection,
Doug. Yeah, but let's look at the stupid picks. Syracuse, stupid pick.
No, that's
Minnesota,
not.
Minnesota, stupid pick. Iowa State, I don't know if it's a stupid pick because I like that at home. West Virginia, probably not an intelligent selection either. So I got about four non-intelligent selections here. The toss-up games, I took the wrong teams. LSU, UCLA, Minnesota, West Virginia.
Well, I'll guarantee you Kansas State just because I said they were going to be. That's until a toss-up game. I mean, you can get some money line on that. You got the underdog there. Yeah, Texas Tech, that quarterback could roll. So, yeah.
If I don't get three this week, I'm aiming to get at least three right. Now, Jimmy, this was a weird thing that I come across today. You know, in radio, there's always this day in history, and some people really get crazy talking about it. I want to ask you if you have any idea what this television theme song was.
You probably wouldn't know this about me, but if it's not a sports show on TV, we probably don't have it on our television. But I'm going to say, was it Lassie?
Oh, that's a, you know what? That's a hell of a guess.
I thought it was worth a try.
That is a hell of a guess, because this is from that era. But the reason I saw it today and I said, I know I'm going to catch crap if I talk about this on the show, but I don't care. I don't care, because family is pretty cool from time to time. And it's only because I was a little kid. How many TV stations did you get when you were growing up?
We got three, and one of them was really snowy.
Yeah, same here.
Still three. Watched it. It was I could get enough out of it. Yeah, I could watch it.
I want to watch this show. Three television programs. Three television stations. And my grandma would babysit us. She always watched her soap operas. 48 years ago today, the debut of Days of Our Lives. That was her favorite. Mom's favorite. Always growing up, and I'll admit it, and I think college guys are lying. When they were in college, they watched soap operas during their time off. Because, you know, let's face it, in the 80s and before, there wasn't anything cool on. There was no reruns to watch in the afternoon. We still didn't have that many television programs. So there you go. There's that piece of me that you didn't really want to know about.
Doug, did you ever have black and white?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hell yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that happened.
Yeah. Most of I barely got to watch the 83 National Championship game in color. What are you talking about?
You know, when I was growing up, there were some of the shows that weren't even in color. I mean, like, hey, this, you could have a color TV, but this show wasn't in color. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's kind of amazing. But, you know, I know when my mom and dad, when we finally got our first color TV, that was something else.
Oh. It's big time.
That's kind of like a microwave, you know, the microwave. Whoa, unbelievable.
Dad brought home the first microwave.
Yeah, we don't even need one of these.
Dad doesn't even
Yeah,
do
we don't even
like
need
that.
One of these. We'll never use it.
We were shocked. It was awesome. It was the first microwave. Oh, God. Yeah, kids, go ahead and laugh. Yeah, iPod, iPad, whatever. That's why we're old. We become old. Jeff wouldn't even know what life is without color TV.
Yeah, what's this black and white stuff you guys are talking
8-track
about?
8-track tapes, cassettes, Walkmans. He's never heard of any of it. We want to thank Brian Munson, Big Red Report, Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. I predicted that next Tuesday we were going to talk to two winning football coaches. I hope I don't have to change the plans and get new guests because I got UNK and Hastings College both winning this Saturday at home, and let's send those seniors out on a good note. Folks, coming up Monday, we will have Bo Pelini's weekly press conference in between the Michigan-Michigan State game. We'll wrap up the week. Jared Crick is scheduled to join us next week on the Doug and Daddy Show among our guests as well. Jimmy, have a great weekend, man.
You too. Yeah, have a great time and have fun at those volleyball games.
You darn right. Tonight, see you tomorrow, folks.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game on!